remember some of the very first times that I went to my husband Steve's Christmas parties for work. These were those kind of events, at least in the beginning, before the downsizing and the financial situation changed, where everyone dressed up, brought their spouses, and conversation just flowed across tables. As introductions were made, the very first question that was always asked the spouses who didn't work at the company was, what do you do? Do you stay at home? Do you work outside the home? What is your interest in life that gets lived out through occupation? It was early in my career, and I was eager and earnest in saying, I'm a pastor. I've since learned that sharing that is an invitation to everyone who hears it to either share their horror stories about my colleagues, to share every tragedy that they've ever been through in their lives, or a treatise on the failure of the institutional church as they've come to know it throughout their life. Like many clergy, I got very used to hearing the line, I'm spiritual, but not religious. I honestly wonder if math teachers, as they introduce themselves, hear about how people don't like math. And I wonder if engineers get critiques on various design processes as they introduce themselves as engineers, or if hairdressers get horror stories about bad haircuts that have been given. But certainly clergy get horror stories, and I'm spiritual, but not religious. That was often included with some form of frustration with the institutional church, and usually some interest in the tenets of faith, or at least the founders of faith, Jesus and the like. Spiritual but not religious seems to set up this juxtaposition between the experiences of the Spirit and then the more traditional institutional ways in which the Spirit may be invited into our lives. Spiritual but not religious assumes that you can either have very meaningful, life-filled experiences or be part of a religious community. I have heard some form of this explanation and philosophy every time I have ventured to say, I'm a pastor. I'm tempted now to say things like, I teach, or I lead a nonprofit. As I reflect, I often feel sad for those who are sharing this, because I think what is missing is presence. This is our fourth sermon in the stewardship series, and we've been exploring how do we offer ourselves to God? How do we take what we've been given and turn it over for God's use? I've used the membership vows of the United Methodist Church to structure this series, these five things: prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. Our new members this morning will promise along these lines, and you all will support them with the reaffirmation that you too want to live your lives in this way. We are to be faithful in these various ways. It's the full complement of the different aspects of our discipleship. When we only hit one or two, somehow we're missing something. Our discipleship is fullest when God can use all that we offer. Attempting to live fully and authentically is exactly where we heard the apostles in the reading that Mike read for us this morning from Acts. The portrait of the early church is compelling. It has conviction and conversion, fellowship and discipleship, radical, intentional, communal living, that's kind of those buzzwords for today, generosity and growth of community. It's hard to hear that passage and not be inspired, not to want to live just like the early church lived, or at least as it's included in that particular passage. It follows Peter's rousing sermon from Pentecost and is bookended with growth on both sides, both for the individual and for the growing young church. Chronologically, this is one of the first places we hear that the apostles' teachings are inspiration for others. This indicates that first there were those who had never met Jesus, who had to depend on the word of someone else to tell them about someone they didn't know. And second, it indicates that there was value given to that kind of testimony, to those who had experienced Jesus one-on-one. Something for us to remember, as there is deep value here in hearing the testimonies of others and witnessing those who've experienced God one-on-one. While I have to say these are compelling pictures of the early church, it might be easy to look around, not just here, but around the world that we live in, and say, our body of Christ doesn't look just like that picture in Acts 2. The world that we live in doesn't exactly reflect the image that was portrayed. It might be easy for us to get discouraged. I wonder how often we see the brokenness of our humanity more than the beauty of our humanity. And if you read on in Acts, you will see this as well. Read on in Acts and find embezzlement of funds, church conflict, racial exclusion, leadership failures, infighting, and quite frankly, church leaders who messed up but good. It's all there in the book of Acts. We've taken a portrait of what we hope that it might look like this morning. So adding our presence to a community is committing to that kind of an ideal, saying we hope that our community might strive towards the pristine and ideal version of Acts 2 that we dream about, while realizing there are days, there are times when the challenges of humanity and the struggles of conflict and feud, of rough spots and awkward exchanges, is a daily reality in our own body of Christ. We walk into the body of Christ knowing that it is both a place of brokenness and a place of beauty, because we realize that no one of us can do it alone. Each one of us needs the community for us to see God through one another. And as I've gotten to know you all over the last number of months, this is what you've shared with me. I've heard you tell me about the presence of God that you've met through those who are gathered with you. I've heard compelling retellings of people who have supported you and your families through difficult circumstances, medical and economic, relationship changes and family dynamics. You've shared with me profound moments of celebrating one another, as well as remarkably ordinary Sunday mornings in which you needed to see the face of God in those who gathered in worship with you. During some of our cottage chats and casual conversations, you all have told me again and again, it's in community that you've experienced God. Others have pointed the way so that you might know Jesus more. when we ask people to give their gift of presence to a community, the body of Christ values each one of us as individuals, but all of us as a larger body. There are no throwaway people. There are no throwaway relationships. When we ask people to give the gift of presence to a community, we value gathering together. That is to say, you matter here, in this place. You matter to God and you matter to us. God's fullest vision of how we live together is blurry when we are missing folks. God's fullest vision of how we live as the kingdom of God is somehow incomplete when we don't add our presence. Imagine if a baseball team tried to play without the second baseman. Imagine if a school operated without the school nurse. Imagine if an orchestra had no percussion. Imagine if a football team played without the place kicker. All of these could be. Perhaps you've been in a school without a school nurse, and perhaps you've heard playing without percussion. And yet, all of these scenarios are missing something when the full complement is not present. Something is less than complete. The team limps along instead of being their best self, instead of thriving. Imagine a church where members and attenders were present in full force when the church opened for the worship of God and when the church went out into the world. It's that kind of being together that shows us God's fullest vision. Coming back to the false dichotomy of spiritual versus religion, I need to say that I'm sure, because I've experienced it, that God speaks in the silence of mountain peaks and during fishing trips. I'm sure that God speaks on the golf course and nature hikes and sandy beaches. I'm sure that God is present in the secluded hammock that looks so beautiful in a picture. Hear me to say, these are places that are valuable and sometimes essential for personal moments of communion with God. However, connecting with God is never just about connecting with God. It's about connecting also with God's people. There's a Buddhist story that tells it this way. There were two Buddhist monks, both seeking enlightenment in that tradition. They were traveling together and soon came to a wall. And it became clear to them that climbing the wall and on the other side was enlightenment, their very goal. So the first monk, as quick as he might, he climbed up the wall over the top and he was enlightened. The second monk climbed up the wall, looked over to the other side, saw what enlightenment might be, climbed back down the wall and realized he wanted to show others the way to get towards that wall and the way to climb up that wall, so that he would not be the only one who achieved enlightenment. As we think about offering our stewardship, as we think about offering our presence, we are reminded that we have a role in being part of the lives of others. Being present and being open to God's movement is the way that we share with one another. Following Jesus is a personal affair, but never a private affair. We need one another to be moved and to be challenged, to be convicted and to be encouraged, to be renewed and to be served, as well as to serve one another. So as our new members pick and make their vows this morning, consider how God might be calling you to renew your vows as well, to be present in a new and different way. For this is the fullest image of the body of Christ. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. It has truly been the body of Christ who has influenced so many. So as I thought about who might be a meaningful person to hear from in our presence testimony this morning, one of the persons that came to mind was Lena Douglas. I know that many of you have not had the chance to see her in quite a while as she is currently homebound. But would you hear her words about what it is to be present in a community that she can't be a part of on this morning?
I know they're there for me, and I feel the presence every week or every day, and I know they're praying for me. I've fallen twice, and my church family was there every time I needed them. Act without their help, knowing they were there for me, their cards and their gifts. I would have felt lost, but I don't. I felt good knowing if I called, someone would be there. I would be lost without my church family, but I'm not. I know they're there for me. And with their prayers and God's help, I have gotten a lot better. I can walk now with my walker, and I'm beginning to use my arm. I feel their presence. I think of them all the time. And I know my thoughts are with them all the time. And they're all there for me. And I thank them all for their cards and their gifts. And knowing that I can call there. And they will be there.
I give thanks to God for the gift of testimony, for the sharing that happens not only in person but also through technology. As we offer of ourselves, I would ask our ushers to come forward to receive our gifts.